Hi everyone, it's Curious Raven. This is day 8 of October Spook. This story is by Colt Leisure, and it is called I Will Never Forget the House with the Red Wallpaper. The house at the end of the lane had been there since before I was born. It had a crimson cottage roof. Everyone who claimed to have gone inside of it said the interior was much larger than it appeared from the road. Although it was part of my upbringing, it became another decorative set piece of life as usual for me. Every other kid who grew up on the block felt the same way. It was a place as mundane as the red wallpaper that compromised its inside. For as long as I could recall, there was never a steady resident in the house. Rumors abounded that a local band recorded something unreleased there. It was a Doom Laden Black Sabbath inspired track listing influenced by acid. The group called themselves Forgotten Meadow. This tale was often dismissed as a local myth. My father claimed to have seen members coming and going in their van. They were always accused of being occultists. One song had a title I remember, Astral Projection. My dad had always described the lyrics about traveling outside the human form. The subject does so in search of some sort of eternal knowledge. I always accused his entire generation of being a bunch of hippies who smoked way too much pot. I had no time for their stone-fueled nonsense. I moved out of that small and leafy town forever in a flood of autumn foliage and went to college. I came back twice a year to visit my folks during the holiday season. Passing the house became a ritual I enjoyed. I took it for granted during my youth, but seeing it later on was nostalgic in a way. One morning when I was there, I went outside as the familiar scent of the air before it rains was all around. I decided to go for a jog. As I neared the corner, I watched as a Honda sped down the road. It crossed the sidewalk, destroyed the lawn with tread marks, and crashed into the house. The sound of glass shattering and the roof caving in washed over me. Screams from a woman emanated down the block. Even with my 5 years of driving in college town, where lots of people drove intoxicated, I never saw a crash. I ran towards the wreckage. The shrieks of horror were not coming from one of the passengers or the driver. Instead, it was a pedestrian who was across the way, who had been walking her dog. The vehicle was upside down. I neared it and realized I had crossed what used to be the threshold of the domicile. Now it was a makeshift construction site of damaged plaster and debris. A bloodied and broken arm was sticking out of the driver's side. The wheels spun and smoke drifted from the hood. There was only one individual I could see, and he craned his neck to get a better view of me. His mouth opened. This gesture revealed a set of shattered teeth. The remnants had scattered across the airbags. I was slow to realize the truth of the matter. A chill swept through me as I realized the vehicle was one my family owned. The man struggling to stay alive behind the wheel was me. I survived with tremendous amount of psychological agony. The buzz from the whiskey I drank earlier could not erase what happened. I will never forget that out-of-body experience. Our next story is by Puzzle Headed Ad, and it is called An Urban Legend Follows Me Wherever I Go. My name is Ruoko. I grew up in a rural village in Japan. And I later moved out and traveled to Sweden when I was 18 for a university bursary. The village was located around the north side of Tuturi. I lived with my sister and mom. I had a few friends around the neighborhood. We loved exploring around the village since it was mostly just plain farmland, but it was beautiful. There was a shrine built at both ends of the village. On the far left side of the village, I lived around two houses away from the shrine. Next to the shrine, there was a small shack, and inside was a place for offerings alongside materials used for rituals. We would do our rituals very different than the rest of Japan. Typically, you do two bows, two claps, and a bow. In our village, we would gather a white cloth or towel, dirt that had been blessed by a Shinto, silver scissors, and lastly, water that also has been blessed by a Shinto. We would hang the white cloth or towel on two wooden bamboo poles, place a bowl of blessed dirt on a stone slab in front of the towel, and pour half of the blessed water into the dirt. Then gently place both hands into the bowl, covering our hands lightly in mud. We would then wash our hands with the remaining water over the cloth, essentially dirtying the cloth while symbolically washing away the evil and transferring it onto the cloth. We would then snip the cloth with the silver scissors, destroying the evil. We would then stand up, bow four times, followed by two claps and a very deep bow. We would do these rituals every month in order to ward off the evil spirits in the village. There was an urban legend of a woman. Her name was Hanora Ichimori. She was in her mid-20s. She lived exactly in the middle of the village. It was around the time of the month where people would start to complete rituals. That year, Hanora did not complete her ritual. In fact, she did not do it at all. At the last hour of the month, it was rumored that the people heard loud shrieks at the core of the village. The next month, people found Hanora's eyes ripped out of her pale corpse. Hanora had a white blindfolded wrapped around where her eyes should have been. The blindfold was made out of clean white cloth usually used during rituals. Her bedroom was covered in blood. It was said that hours later, her body was not found anywhere. Ever since, there has been an urban legend of Hanora. It is said that if you do not complete your ritual before the end of the ritual month, you will find a woman in a white dress wiggling around, almost dancing with a blindfold on, in the middle of a distant field. It's said that she stops dancing and looks at you, and you have one more night to live, for she steals your eyes and wears them as her own. But if she takes her blindfold off, you will be cursed for the rest of your life and be doomed to have the most torturous life possible until you complete the ritual. A Hanora would make it very difficult for that to happen. I thought that the urban legend was created so that people would complete their rituals. When I turned 13, I decided that I would see if it was true. I was very confident that it was all a hoax. The last night of the month, I didn't do the ritual. At exactly midnight, I felt a presence watching over me. I decided to leave my lamp on that night, but it didn't help. Eventually, I managed to sleep. That night, I had a very vivid dream. It almost felt real. I was in front of the shack used for offerings. It was covered in sealed chains. I had to reach into a pot to grab the keys and break the seal. I entered the shack and closed the door behind me. I bowed down to the shrine, and after that, the doors started to rattle, and the door handle would repeatedly be pushed down until it suddenly stopped. Blood leaked through the bottom of the door before I turned around. There was a pair of eyes sitting on the table of the shrine. The shack started to shake before the door burst open, revealing a tall woman in a white dress, before I woke up in a cold sweat. It was early afternoon when I woke up. That afternoon, I met my friends outside. I went out of the village to go exploring again. After about an hour, I noticed a woman standing in the middle of a field near a mountain. She appeared to be wiggling around. I grabbed my friend's binoculars and looked at the woman dancing around. Her arms were flailing like a flag waving with the wind. You twisted and turned, but not like a human. Her torso twisted right around until she stopped dancing. She was looking right at me. I asked my friends if they saw her too, and they couldn't see anything. He pointed at me as her other hand removed her blindfold to reveal an empty eye socket with blood leaking from them. I told my friends to run. As I ran back to the village, I told my parents what happened. They immediately sent me to the room and covered the windows and walls with blessed papers. They commanded me not to open my room to anybody. Later that night, somebody knocked at my door, followed by vigorous attempts at opening my door. I fell asleep again shortly after that. I was told to complete the ritual, which I did. During the ritual, I spontaneously forgot to complete the ritual with a deep bow. From then on, I would be haunted by Hanora every night for years. I was told to leave Japan several years later for a bursary. I felt relieved that I may be cured of the horrid nightmares I had each night. I moved to Sweden. For months, life seemed to be okay. Until about 3 months later, I woke up at 3 a.m. in the morning. I looked outside my window and found Hanora dancing. I immediately looked away at her, praying to myself. I could feel her. I went to sleep after that, having a dream. She was standing at my bed, staring at me with her blindfold off. But I couldn't move. That week, I went to a Shinto. They commanded me to return to my village and complete the ritual. And once I did that, I'd have to live with the village's Shinto for 3 weeks before I can return to Sweden. So I did just that. I returned to Japan, and I completed the ritual. I was surrounded by a bowl of Shinto blessed salt and completed the ritual. It was not easy, though. I heard whispering while in the process of the ritual, followed by tapping, pushing, and feeling of a presence surrounding me. After that, I lived with the Shinto for 3 weeks before I returned to Sweden. I visited the Shinto in Sweden, and he advised me to bless my house and surround every room in the house in a salt for 78 days, which I did. After that, life seemed to go back to normal. I've been having normal dreams. I've been energized and happy for the last year until yesterday. I had a dream I was back at the shrine. It was daytime. At that time, though, I saw myself as a 13-year-old completing the ritual, unlike when I was actually 13. I saw Hanora standing in front of the shrine, holding the scissors used to cut the cloth. When I was about to cut the cloth, she held the scissors under her blindfold. When I snipped the cloth, she snipped the blindfold. When the blindfold fell from her face, she had beautiful light brown hazel eyes glimmering in the sunlight. She vanished, and I woke up. I felt calm when I woke up. I don't know if by choice that means she will take my eyes or she found hers, but I need someone to tell me whether that's bad or good.